Welcome to the Organizing Confidence Unlimited podcast. I'm Maggie, a busy mom and owner of Organizing CU, a professional organizing business in Champaign, Urbana, Illinois. This podcast is for busy moms who are sick of losing steam and are ready to get organized to gain time for themselves and their family. We go in depth on a bunch of topics from paperwork to closets to daily routines. Today, we're talking about your kitchen. When I explain to people what a professional organizer does, the top three places I get asked about over and over are closets, toys, and kitchens. I covered closets in episode 3 and then toys in episode 12, so this one is long overdue. Kitchens can be one of the toughest places to organize. You're likely in there all the time, whether you're a cook or not. It's the place that people tend to gravitate towards during a normal week or during a party. It's the drop zone for basically everything in your home: mail, paperwork, toys, dishes, bags. Though it's certainly okay to use it for very short-term storage, you need to have a permanent home for everything in the kitchen. Kitchens have a lot of counter space and flat surfaces. Flat surfaces seem to gather clutter the quickest and easiest. Dining room table, check. Office desk, check. Kitchen counters, check times 10. Flat surfaces make it very easy for you to drop things and not return them to their permanent home. Before you start this process, take a look at your counters and see what's gathered on them. Figure out the permanent home for each of the items. Watch for a week or two and see what items continue to pile up on your countertops. If it's mail, try to figure out a better system, such as maybe opening the mail the day you get it, recycling the junk immediately, and then adding a small letter sorter to that space. If it's your purse that always ends up there, either find another spot to keep it, or maybe try adding a hook at the end of one of your cabinets to hang it on so it's not on the surface. Flat surfaces are always clutter magnets. Episode 17, I talked about changing the habitat, not the habit. That's going to work well for you in the kitchen. Try listening to that episode and applying it to the items that end up on your kitchen counters. Personally, I like to keep my counters clear of everything except for fruit and the toaster oven I use almost daily. That means everything else needs to have a space in my cabinets or drawers. It's not easy to keep it that way, and I have to work really hard to maintain it. And that brings me to my organizing philosophy: reduce, arrange, maintain. Reduce what you have, arrange it in a way that makes sense to you, and then maintain it by using habits to keep it that way. This episode is going to cover how to reduce, arrange, and maintain your kitchen. The first thing you'll want to do is take it all out. Similar to the garage episode, which was number 11, there are two ways you can work on this one. You can do it all at one time, or you can do it piecemeal by groups. If you're doing it all in one day or weekend, you'll probably need to have at least 6 hours at the absolute minimum to work on a project this size. If that all at once method is not feasible to your life, the other technique is to try to do it by groups. If you're doing the latter, take some time before starting to choose your groups carefully and develop a plan to tackle each group. Let me give you an example of some groups so you have an idea of what I'm talking about. A group could be glassware, another group plates, bowls, serving utensils, cookware like pots and pans. When working on organizing the kitchen, I like to start by pulling everything out, whether it's everything in your whole kitchen if you're doing it in one day, or everything in that first group. Next, you'll divide each group into four categories. The first category is the stuff you use all the time, your A group. The second is the stuff you barely use, your B group. And the third category is stuff you could do without, but you want to hold on to, your C category. Of course, I recommend a D for donate pile for all those things you forgot you had or no longer need. I'm going to get a little crazy here and jump out of order to talk about the donation pile first. In the previous episode, number 20, about downsizing, I mentioned my $20 under 20 minute rule. If you can replace something for under $20 in under 20 minutes, is it worth donating it to give you some space back in your kitchen? For you, that rule might be $5 under 30 minutes or $35 under 10 minutes. Choose your limits and then be consistent with it as you're organizing your kitchen space. This $20 in 20 minute rule is very important in the kitchen. This is for all of those just in case items we tend to keep. The melon ballers, the metal skewers, the offset spatulas. I personally used to have about 10 larger dinner plates that we quite honestly didn't use. I was keeping them just in case. I finally realized I'm not going to suddenly host a dinner party with seating for 10 people. It's been 4, 5, 6 years since I got rid of them, and we have never once needed them. Think of all the space I gained in my cabinet by donating those plates. As you're going through, decide whether the space or the item is more important in your kitchen. Once you have everything of your group pulled out, it's time to look at them and decide what you can reduce. When you can see all the plates you have, how many spatulas have gathered, how many colanders there are, you can figure out exactly how many at most you'll need. If you're running your dishwasher every day or even twice a day, decide what's the minimum amount you would need at any time. Once you've added that stuff to your donate pile, it's time to start putting everything else into the ABC categories. Divide the remaining grouped items into the ABC categories. The A category should be pretty obvious to you. It's the everyday dishes, cups, the certain pots and pans you're frequently using. When you're working on this, keep in mind that some items from each group might have an A, while some other items in that group might be a B or C. For plates, you might have fancy china that goes under the C category, while your everyday dishes is going to be in an A. For cups, if you had toddlers, maybe the sippy cups are an A and the champagne glasses for special occasions might be a B. Next, you need to determine what areas of your kitchen, the physical spaces, are for A items, which are going to be for B items, and which are for the C category. The A spaces should be readily accessible. In my own kitchen, that's the bottom shelves of the upper cabinets, right at eye level. That's where we store our everyday plates and glasses. Figure out how often you're using something, and then assign it accordingly to each of the categories. The B space is the higher shelves in my upper cabinets, which require some stretch to reach, but not quite a stepladder. I like to keep things like extra travel mugs up there. Stuff that I use just frequently enough to be accessible, but not every day. The C category gets put somewhere that we don't go too often. In my house, it's the bottom of my pantry and the cabinets that are over in the dining room. The bottom pantry has pull-out drawers and I keep things down there like a popcorn machine, crock pots, immersion blender. The dining room shelves have maybe some of the prettier items like my trifle dish, a cake stand, and Dutch oven. Nothing I'm using frequently, but I'm not going to get rid of them. When you're deciding where to put things, you also need to decide if the kitchen is the best place for it. If it's something you're only using once a year, think about storing it with some of your holiday decor. Don't let items take space up in your already very full kitchen. I'm talking about things like maybe your roasting pans and holiday dishware. If you have a turkey platter you only use on Thanksgiving, store it with that holiday's decor, not in your kitchen. If for some reason you need it in March, you still know exactly where to find it. In that specific case, the C category ends up being in a different location of the house. In addition to my holiday party items, I also keep things like my stand mixer down in my basement. I don't bake a lot nowadays, and I have a small family, so for my life, it makes perfect sense to store it downstairs. When I do need it, it takes less than a minute to go grab it. A quick note for some parents out there. I keep all of our kid-related stuff on a wire shelving unit at the end of my kitchen island to keep things within reach for them. Things like bowls, sippy cups, plastic plates, etc. If you don't have space for a separate unit, try to find a small cabinet near the floor for them. your kids will know where to get a plate when they want to let you know they're hungry, and they'll know where it goes after it's been washed, and they can be responsible for putting it away, because it's never too early to start organizing. Kitchens, with their many cabinets and tons of flat surfaces, are one of the hardest places to organize. But by following my ABC method and sticking with reduce, arrange, maintain, you can get it organized. Thank you so much for joining me today. I'll be back next time to discuss permanent clutter. To learn more about Organizing CU in the meantime, or to see what else I've been up to, check out organizingcu.com. Make sure you hit subscribe so you never miss an episode. Now let's get organized.